Good morning. This is Bill Lynch, pleased to begin what I hope will be a long run here on the CBS World News Roundup. East-West tensions have taken a deadly turn in Germany, Wellington Long reports.
A Soviet guard shot and killed an American officer assigned to the U.S. Army military liaison office attached to Soviet Army headquarters in East Germany. The Army has released few details so far. An official statement says the shooting occurred Sunday, but it does not say whether it happened at the liaison missions building at Soviet Army headquarters in the ancient Prussian capital of Potsdam or somewhere else in East Germany. Members of the American, British, and French military liaison missions in Potsdam regularly travel about East Germany, and sometimes they have confrontations with East German or Soviet police who think they are getting too close to sensitive areas closed to Westerners. The American Army says its officers are discussing the incident with Soviet officers. Wellington Long for CBS News, Bonn.
Reports say a second American military man was with the slain officer but was not injured. American embassy sources say a serious protest has been lodged with Soviet officials. The U.S. Embassy in New Delhi today confirmed the defection of Igor Gezha, third secretary at the Soviet embassy there, but denied any link between the defection and the murder last week of another Soviet diplomat in Delhi. Gezha is now in the United States, and the Indian government is not happy about the affair. We spoke this morning to BBC correspondent Satish Jacob.
Minister of State for Foreign Affairs has made a very strong statement today saying that Indian government viewed the whole episode very seriously and has asked the United States government to give complete details how this man was spirited out to Delhi.
Jacob says Soviet sources are giving Indian reporters a much different version of the diplomat's departure.
They are quoting one Soviet official without naming him, saying that he felt that maybe Igor Gezha was forced by the Americans to defect. According to this Soviet official, Gezha was a very good Marxist, communist, and a patriot. And how could he defect?
Gezha left behind a wife and 10-year-old daughter. The fate of the beleaguered MX missile will be decided this week in the House of Representatives. President Reagan won a key MX victory last week in the Senate, and as Gary Schuster reports, he's not letting up.
Chief U.S. arms negotiator Max Kampelman blitzes Congress today trying to drum up votes for President Reagan's MX missile funding plan. Kampelman is going head-to-head against House Speaker Thomas O'Neill in an effort to convince fence-sitting Democrats that they should support the president. Speaker O'Neill says Tuesday's vote will go down to the wire. He said he has 195 certain votes to block the $1.5 billion funding plan. White House officials are concerned they may lose the vote. In a final lobbying gesture, Mr. Reagan has invited the entire Congress to the White House this afternoon to hear from him and Kampelman. The importance the president places on this vote is shown by the fact that he asked Kampelman to come back fully aware that he would miss the beginning of the next Geneva arms talk session. Gary Schuster, CBS News, the White House.
This is Neil Strauser. Real close is the way one top strategist for House Republicans rates tomorrow's vote. Two factors are helping to make it close. New concern about the vulnerability and the cost of the MX, and some backlash from the heavy White House lobbying campaign. Some senior Democrats that Speaker O'Neill expected to lose are now agreeing with the argument that it would simply cost too much. $40 billion, according to O'Neill, by the time the 100 missiles the administration wants are built and their vulnerable silos are hardened to make them more attack resistant. And some Democrats from shaky districts have found themselves not only the target of White House lobbying, but also the target of planned multimillion dollar Republican campaigns to unseat them next year. They are saying the administration can't have it both ways. Neil Strauser, CBS News, Washington.
A Sunday afternoon shopping spree turned into mayhem yesterday at the Ross Dress for Less department store in Los Angeles. A gas explosion tore through the building, injuring shoppers and leaving one employee apparently missing. Gary Clark reports from CBS station KNX.
Los Angeles fire investigators are still trying to locate the source of a mysterious gas that caused an explosion big enough to destroy a large department store in the Fairfax district. The store was crowded with shoppers at the time, and at least 21 people were injured. John L. Colley and his wife were inside the department store when it happened.
We were looking at some clothing, and we just started to walk out and walking toward the door, and bingo. We weren't too far from the doorway, so I grabbed her, and she fell, but I dragged her and picked her up, and out the door we went. Didn't even bother to open the door. Of course, there was no glass in the door.
Being inside at the time, he says it didn't sound like a tremendous explosion.
I consider it kind of soft. You just felt the air moving and glass flying and things starting to crumble overhead and things wanting to fall on you.
McCauley and his wife were lucky. They escaped with no injuries. Gary Clark for CBS News, Los Angeles.
In war-weary Beirut, fighting between Christian and Muslim militias went on for 9 hours yesterday, the heaviest mortar and small arms exchange since last summer. Meanwhile, the search goes on for a political end to the fratricide. Larry Pintak reports from Damascus.
President Jumail came here this weekend hoping to convince the Syrians to give him more time to solve the crisis peacefully. The Syrians are growing impatient with the continuing Christian revolt. Jumail wants to make sure the Syrians don't decide to send in their troops to quell the rebellion. Jumail's other concern is a resurgence of civil war in Lebanon. The revolt by the Christian hardliners has been a major setback to efforts to achieve some semblance of Lebanese unity. The Christian rebels reject Jumail's close cooperation with Syria. They have ties to Israel, and that's made things even worse. Syrian-backed Muslim militias have mobilized their forces, and Druze leader Walid Jumblon has talked of crushing the rebels. Larry Pintak, CBS News, Damascus.
We spoke this morning with Samir Jaja, leader of the pro-Israeli Lebanese Forces Christian militia, who says he's ordered a ceasefire and expects it to continue for a while.
Today, everything is normal.
The fighting has subsided indefinitely, or will there be new dangers in Beirut?
I don't see any new big clashes for the time being.
Do you have confidence in President Jumail in putting together and holding this security arrangement in place?
As a president of the republic, yes.
Will he be able to do so without the active involvement of President Assad in Syria?
Well, he should try at least.
Lebanese forces leader Samir Jaja. Police in Lebanon's port city of Tripoli report the disappearance this morning of a French diplomat. Only last Friday, three French embassy workers were kidnapped in West Beirut. In South Africa, new rioting broke out today in black townships around Utenhaga, the town in Cape Province where 19 blacks died last Thursday from police gunfire. Witnesses say police today used tear gas to disperse crowds. Police roadblocks were set up to keep journalists away. 300,000 Danish workers went on strike today for higher wages, paralyzing much of the country's transport, utilities, and other industries. Unions are demanding a shorter work week and a bigger pay hike than the 2% they've been offered. After last week's slide, the dollar is on the rise on European money markets today. Gold opened mixed with the London Fix at $315.90. It's 10 past the hour.